So we're into our summer season, and I've been doing a series on You Asked For It. And it's been a fun thing to do for me because I get to look into some different things that I might otherwise focus on. And so this is the third Sunday that we are doing this. The first one, it was Ken Smith's question, and it was on activating or utilizing your intuition and the third eye chakra. And last Sunday, it was the question that was submitted by Donna Begley, and she had asked about, in all the craziness and busyness of our lives, how do we honor and recognize the spirituality in rest and relaxation? And the question this week was submitted by Linda Smith, your board president, and she was really wanting to know a little bit more about unity as a whole, to understand our structure, because we are very different than many other spiritual or religious organizations. So she asked me to cover that. So the talk title for today is A Powerful Spiritual Movement, Unity Worldwide. And if you missed any of the others, feel free to go online on our website. You can listen to it, download it in MP3s or whatever you want to do that way. So in taking a look at unity as a whole, you know, it's easy as we sit here each Sunday, and especially because we're in a unique position whereby we do not have another unity church that is very close by. Most other unity centers oftentimes are within half an hour, maybe 40 minutes of each other, and I think our closest one is either Fort Wayne or Hammond or Valparaiso, and you know, it's an hour and a half. And it's easy to sometimes forget that unity is more than just right here. It's more than the building, the church. It's more, it is a spiritual movement that we are all a part of as humanity, choosing to move forward according to the teachings of Jesus Christ consciousness. So I wanted to go back a little bit just to our roots, to give us a foundation to stand upon. Many of you know the history, so I'm not going to go into it a great deal because I do want to talk about where we are now. However, Charles Fillmore grew up and very spiritually curious, even as a young man. He studied several things and had a knowledge of Buddhism, Hinduism, Theosophy, Rosicrucianism, and more. Myrtle Fillmore experienced the illness of tuberculosis, but she was very spiritually focused. And I'm looking for my dates here. There's so many. In 1986, the two of them, Charles and Myrtle, went to a lecture that was given.
1986.
You know, you are so. I was sitting there looking, and you know what? I wrote 1986 on here. I'm like, you are awesome. It's probably better if it was 1886, and thank you so much. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Okay, who else caught that? Here I am. Okay, thank you, everybody. Yes, thank you so much for saying it out loud. And so I guess you do. In 1886, they did attend a lecture that was given by E.B. Weeks, who was one of the people who was very much into spiritualism. There was a huge movement through with hypnotism, with mesmerism, with exploring spiritual different avenues and things at that time. And there was people were doing that in all kinds of groups everywhere. So they went in 1886 to this lecture. Myrtle Fillmore walked out of that lecture having had one of those experiences that I'm sure you can relate to, where you just hear something differently and you hear it in the heart of your being. And even though your mind's going, I don't think that's true, there's something that is so true that you resonate. And it was, I am a child of God and I do not inherit sickness. And she walked out of there with that awareness. She didn't have an instantaneous healing, but she worked with it prayerfully in an understanding that it would need to take a shift of her consciousness So she prayerfully worked with that over the next couple of years, because the Fillmores had very much studied the teachings of Christ. And Jesus taught us about prayer and love. That was the example that he walked. And over those 2 years, Myrtle was cured of her tuberculosis. Charles Fillmore, who had also had an accident when he was a young kid skating, had one leg that was quite a bit shorter than the other, went through his own process of healing. It was a little different than Myrtle's, but he did over time also have a healing of his own. Out of that experience, though, they recognized this inherent presence and power and acknowledged the importance of prayer and the role that it plays in our lives. And from that, Charles had been a real estate developer. He'd done just about everything, but he quit his job in 1889 and decided to go full-time into the business of focusing on publishing a periodical called Modern Thought. And over time, this is now what we have as our Unity magazine. So in the next year, Myrtle then began to organize a prayer group. People started seeing what she had done. They didn't put the word out particularly. They just recognized what had happened in her life. People started writing letters. They started praying. And she and Charles Fillmore together created a silent helper. So I cannot remember the original name, but it is what eventually became Silent Unity. It is that organization that was developed within just a few years in the early 1900s, where they had over 10,000 people calling in, writing in. They developed what became Silent Unity. So they understood the importance of prayer and in supporting people in that. And Charles never really thought about church or organized, quote-unquote, religion. He was very much focused on spirituality. And so he initially, as they formed this group, the Society of Silent Help that became Silent Unity, they met in small groups, and he began to talk and teach out of that awareness of what he felt was, you know, going back to ground one, which is the teachings of Christ, that were based in prayer. They were based on an understanding that the presence and power of all the universe and all that we would call God is resident within us, and invited people into that awareness over all the next years of his life through creating an organization, through his teachings online, on the radio, through his classes, through Unity Village. And the history, I could talk for 3 weeks on this, so I won't go into all of that. But I wanted to share something. It was really interesting out of Talks on Truth, where he wrote, he says, when we speak of the gospel, it's understood that we refer to that system of religious beliefs that has centered about the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. But as to what that gospel is in detail or in truth, there are many opinions. Many believe that it is a plan of salvation outlined in the dogmas and creeds of the churches. But these doctrines, creeds, and dogmas were formulated 300 years after Jesus taught and demonstrated. 300 years. There is no authority from him, he says, but meaning Jesus. There is no authority from Jesus or his immediate disciples attesting the genuineness of many of these later enunciations interpreting the original teachings. They are the work of men who had to sustain an industry known as the church, and it was thought best to organize the teachings according to human ideas, hence church creed and church government. These teachings are not the pure Christianity of Jesus Christ. The dogmas, the creeds, the government are not the teachings of Jesus Christ, and he did not authorize the ecclesiastical structure called the Christian church. Jesus delegated no ecclesiastical power to anybody. He appointed one teacher, the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, which we know from John 14. So when he was speaking about the Holy Spirit or the Comforter, it is not to come secondhand, but each for himself must receive it from the Holy Spirit. So what is he speaking about the Holy Spirit? He is speaking about the inherent awareness within each of us when we do what the Bible says of listening to that still, small voice. It's an understanding that we are invited, and these are the principles upon which unity was built, to know that Jesus was teaching us that we are one with God, with the Father, with Abba, with pure being, with essence. And we have within us every wisdom, every answer, everything we need to know. So this is the foundation of unity as a spiritual movement. It was not ever originally called a church until at some point, because people wanted a structure, because we need that and we need to operate in our world. I believe it was 1920s or 1930s, maybe even 1910, when Charles and Merle Fillmore first became ordained, and then they began a school of Christianity in 1931 to begin ordaining other ministers in unity. And so it has progressed throughout the years. John Lennon said, "I believe in God, but not as one thing, not as an old man in the sky. I believe that what people call God is something in all of us. I believe that what Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest said was right. It's just that the translations of that have gone wrong." And in scripture from Exodus, it says, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." And I think both of these quotes speak to an idea of a living presence of God that is not inherent in the building. And when it was said, have them make a sanctuary, that higher metaphysical meaning of that is make, for each of us to make a sanctuary within the heart of our being. Say, have them make a sanctuary and I will dwell among them. Open your hearts, be receptive, allow, recognize, know that I am not in a building, I am not in the sky, that the essence of pure being and source that we call God or breath or Yahweh, through all the different, through Buddhism, through Rosicrucianism, through all the ancient special arts and awarenesses, the energy of all that is and all being is resonant within us as we are open and receptive, because it's everywhere. It's within, it's without, it's all of creation. So the ideas that the Fillmores taught were based on connecting through prayer into that understanding of the limitless resource of pure being and allowing it to resonate in a place within us that shifts our thinking, our beliefs that have become inherent, the beliefs that we are ill, the beliefs that we are not good enough, the beliefs that so many of them. It's inviting us to shift in that consciousness, to resonate long enough. It only takes 15 seconds in the neurons in our brain to shift our focus to something different, to create a new pathway. So this is what we are about in unity. It is about recognizing that we are a spiritual movement of people who recognize something different than dogma and creed, than the judgments and the shoulds and the have-tos. And while those particular structures have helped people and continue to help people, it's not to put that down. It is to simply say that there is another message as well. And we can transcend those ideas of dogma and creed and needing to go through someone else in order to reach that supreme power. It shifts us into an awareness that there is only one source. It is the Holy Spirit, or it is the voice of God, or it is that which is inherent in each one of us. So unity is a powerful movement spiritually. And we sometimes forget that we are a part of a huge movement around the world. There are actually just want to check my... Okay, not on there. There are actually somewhere around 575 Unity Centers in the United States, and I think there's 200 and something in other countries, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it is vital for us to recognize our structure is different than many other churches. So the Fillmores created what they called Unity, they built Unity Village. It is the grounds upon which many things happen. They practice vegetarianism. They had services on a Sunday. They eventually shifted from evening classes to services on Sunday. They developed what we know as silent unity. They published the Daily Word and other publications and Unity Thought and created this whole spiritual movement. And at Unity, which was, it went through so many iterations, it changed. See, we want to think, okay, it was always this. Well, it changed. It moved. It grew. It at one time was called Unity School for Religious Studies. So anyone who also wanted to come and take classes, to take continuing education classes on the books of Unity could come to Unity Village. They could go for retreats. They could take classes. They could go through the process of enrolling in the ministerial school. And there were processes by which people could participate in this. So that fell under the auspices of what was called Unity School for Religious Studies, even though it was a bigger program. It was also known as Unity Village. That's kind of how people talked about it. Well, at some point, there was a need as churches began to develop and grow and moved out around the United States and around the world. There began to be needed a separate guidance for actually licensing and ordaining ministers, for providing support to ministries. Because out there, you know, it went especially for us, like we're an hour and a half away from any other Unity church. Ministries, they needed support. And so at that time, there was a group that was created, that was structured, and it was called Association of Unity Churches. So the Association of Unity Churches originally was set to be on the grounds of Unity Village, but they had to move because the building was not present. So they went and got a building, and they have been off grounds for all these many years, from the 70s or even earlier. So the Association Church of Unity Churches was off grounds, and people had, it's like, well, wait, what's Unity Village? What's Unity School for Religious Studies? What's the Association of Unity? So people have had questions about this structure in an understanding that each Unity Church is autonomous to itself. In other words, they are not governed by somebody over them other than to be part of and to be as a Unity Church. You choose to adhere to the overall basic teachings of Jesus Christ and the bylaws that are suggested by Unity, and to be a part of that movement. The churches, though autonomous, are a part of the greater whole. And that's what makes up the association. And ministers needed help, you know, when there was challenges in ministries, when there was conflict, that was the group that helped. So there's a lot of things to go into in regards to all of that, but to have a basic understanding then, over time, there has then been some conflict with those two groups because they felt at odds with each other. Here the ministers were being taught at Unity School for Religious Studies at Unity Village. While it was the association, though, that held the licensing and ordination powers, where they would meet with the actual students, and they were the body that actually ordained. So it's been an interesting process through the years. And eventually, when we began as a whole unit to move forward into back in 2010, and we went through that identity project of what we would know as branding, and Unity began to realize that it was important, because there's all these ideas. Nobody knew what the association was, what Unity School was, what Unity Village was, to begin a branding process so that we would all be on a similar path of who we are, and recognizing what we were about. And at that time, they changed the names that had already been changed many times, but they changed them to what they are now. So it is, I think, important for us to recognize that we have two groups that are a part of a whole. They kind of, you know, mingle and help each other. One is Unity World Headquarters. Unity World Headquarters. It's what was originally the Unity, and it's still called at Unity Village, but it is at Unity Village, and it is what was originally Unity School for Religious Studies. And what is underneath Unity Worldwide Ministries is Silent Unity, which we're all familiar with the publications Daily Word, Unity Magazine, and other publications, books, multimedia, newsletters. They handle retreats, the SEE, which are continuing education retreats and classes on Unity principles and otherwise. They have online radio. They have the archive library there of all the past work of the Fillmores and others, Emily Cady and so forth. They are also in charge of doing World Day of Prayer, and they have this wonderful retreat and conference center and hotel on grounds. There is also a Unity Church who meets there in the chapel, though it is not a part of Unity World Headquarters. It is its own church also. So I just thought it was important to kind of have a sense and an understanding of Unity Village and its importance. One significant thing that has happened in the last couple of years is that the School for Religious Studies, the ministerial program of which I was a part and attended, has now been moved to what was the association. They have now become Unity Worldwide Ministries. So all of the students then go, they do the program, and then they also license and they ordain and they do all the testing and so forth. So it's become a little balance, and what's really exciting is that they're finally moving back onto Unity grounds. So we can see that, you know, over time, things have shifted and changed as much in the Unity movement as we have experienced in our lives and in our world over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And in recognizing that, we understand that we always are a part of that continual change. So Unity Religious Studies is now called Unity Worldwide Spiritual Institute. And it offers programs in spiritual education and enrichment, licensed Unity Teacher Program, ministry and religious studies, and also licensing and ordination. So you can do those programs. You can take classes online. You can go to the website. It's a wonderful opportunity for enrichment, or you can go back for a retreat to Unity Village and experience that. Underneath Unity Worldwide Ministries, which was the association, there is the Youth and Family Ministries. There, the things that they help is they provide a central place for you to contact for resources. They develop communications such as web, video, and social networking. They implement standards of credentialing for ministers and licensed teachers. They create products for ministry development. They provide ministries with administrative tools, including bylaws and so forth. They guide the development of new ministries. They foster the production of uplifting, affirmative music, organize ministry teams and their meetings. It goes on and on. And a lot of times we do not recognize or realize that the association, as we used to call it, which is now Unity Worldwide Ministries, handles all of these things. It is a resource you can go to. It is a resource you can look at online. You can click and check it out and understand all the many things they do. And then there's all these wonderful ministry teams that meet back there that if you had that impulse and wanted to be part of that, you could do that also. So in recognizing that as we go forward, we really have this evolving organization that has changed over the years because spiritually humanity has changed, because what is needed has changed, because people have evolved in how they provide that. And ever and ongoing, Unity continues to explore resources, to provide support for ministers and ministries, to provide teaching and retreats and options. How many of you have ever been to Unity Village? Okay, so several have. And would any of you like to call out just one single word of what that was like for you? There we go. Anybody else? There is something about when you just get close even to the grounds, and I don't know how many acres, it's 1,200 acres or something. There's a lake. There are beautiful buildings. Their sons are part of the architecture of building that. It's an amazing place to be, but recognizing Silent Unity has been there for over 125 years. Prayer has been going on 24 hours, 7 days a week, that entire time. You can imagine what the energy is like when you move onto the grounds or step onto the grounds. So it's absolutely worth going for a retreat. The board has been talking about also possibly doing a retreat where we might all go too. So we're looking at that in the future. I know Tom Grimes always wanted to do a pilgrimage to Unity, and I know there were several of you here that used to be a part of Adults of Unity who went for retreats and wonderful times. I grew up in Unity. I got to go and be at Unity Village when I was in high school, when YOU met there, and now they're back to meeting there. So International YOU is amazing. But it was a wonderful experience because your whole being is just infused with this energy. And so it's important for us to recognize, though, that this is our roots. That we are connected, that we are not just this group or body of people here, but that we are something greater than that, that we are part of this vision that was of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore's, of stepping out into the world as Christ did, in the ways that each of us can, of walking a path that invites people out of their judgments, out of the shoulds that we experience in life, out of the challenges, and into a place that is open and affirming, where we experience tolerance, where we demonstrate tolerance and caring, where we walk in love, where we walk in healing, where we recognize the abundance and prosperity of pure spirit. And as we know that we do not do this alone, we do this with 800 approximately Unity centers, not just in the United States, but around the world, it's pretty powerful. How many of you knew that we were in other countries? Okay, so most of you are aware, okay? And how many of you knew how many centers we had? I didn't either. I mean, I knew sort of, but I didn't. And it was wonderful to take a look at in Puerto Rico I can't remember all the places. There's many, many centers. And they have learning and study in Canada. You know, this, I think, is important for us to recognize in honoring our roots, in honoring the core of our being and what unity is about, and to know that we are part of that spiritual movement that goes forward. From the website, Power of Positivity, it says, we are at a crossroads in spiritual movement. We are desperately trying to make sense of an ever-changing world. We find that the desire to experience a positive shift in vibrational energy is on a rise these days. People are actually enriching their lives while being on a faithful quest with spiritual perception. This is significantly recognizing a different spiritual path that's calling to people in our world that is not about dogma and creed and judgments and past structures. Z. Hefford, who was a spiritual author, said, I consider spirituality to be a state in which we are connected to God, nature, and each other in the deepest part of ourselves. So friends, it's exciting to recognize that we are part of something that is not just right here. I think we do come to unity because we are seeking our own personal growth. We're seeking changes in our life. We're seeking abundance. We're seeking a sense of peace of mind, a sense of healing, a sense of joy. And yet we can recognize that we are all part of something bigger than that. We are part of moving to a greater understanding of oneness in our world. And as we step forward into that, as we demonstrate it, we learn it, and we demonstrate it in our own lives, we are building that sanctuary. We are becoming the sanctuary. We are becoming the living presence and expression, just as Christ did in his very elevated state. From Ephesians scripture, it says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service." In other words, for works of walking in truth. "So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." See, this is inherently why we are all here. We're moving into that fullness of that Christ consciousness. So as we engage as spiritual community with each other, as we let our light shine and as we walk out into our world, as we take this message out, as we invite others because we're excited. We're excited about the changes we see in our lives by the things that we can manifest and affirm for. As we do that, others become attracted and drawn to that because we are shifting in our spiritual desires and our consciousness. So in closing, I will leave you with a quote by Teilhard de Chardin, who was a Jesuit priest and a French philosopher, a geologist. He said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." And M. Scott Peck, who was an American psychiatrist, he wrote The Road Less Traveled, he said, "The great awareness comes slowly, piece by piece. The path of spiritual growth is a path of lifelong learning." Friends, that's what draws us together. That's why we are called unity. Because we are on a path of recognizing our uniqueness, yet our oneness, and living that out into our world.